The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Welcome one and all to the SB Nation NFL Show. Today is Monday, January 30th, 2023, and there is only one game left in this NFL season. It is, of course, the big game, as every national radio show, local ones too, will be talking about it for the next 2 weeks. A reminder before we keep going that this show is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. As noted, this is the SB Nation NFL Show. This is Monday Football Monday. You can watch us live every single Monday morning on the SB Nation NFL YouTube channel. Like the video, subscribe, et cetera, et cetera. But you can listen to us on any podcast platform that you have. Search for the SB Nation NFL Show, subscribe, leave a rating, write a review. Those things are very appreciated. My name is RJ Ochoa from SB Nation's Blogging the Boys, where we have no idea what a Super Bowl is. With me today, somebody who shares that sentiment, no offense, from SB Nation's Pride of Detroit is Jeremy Reisman. Jeremy, your initials are so great. They're just in the wrong order. I don't know if I've ever told you that before.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I'll change it next week.
Good for you. Yeah, go down to like City Hall or whatever it is and like get the name changed. Yeah. Welcome aboard. It sucks having a team with a silver and blue helmet that just can't find a way to get this far in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
I didn't realize we were connected in all these ways, RJ.
I thought about this a lot, if it isn't obvious. With us after a night of what I imagine was some raucous celebrating from SB Nation's Arrowhead Pride, the home of the I don't know if you can call it Arrowhead Pride at this point, Pete Sweeney. Is it Burrowhead Pride? Like, was there any of that going on this past week? The Kansas City Chiefs acted super tough and mighty after an 0-3 record against Joe Burrow, finally getting a dub on the board.
Yeah, well, I mean, for a team that didn't really say much leading into the game, and they beat the team that was saying a lot, I think that was fair for them to talk a little bit after getting it done, right?
We'll see. We'll talk about that. But the Kansas City Chiefs are headed to their third Super Bowl in 4 years. ArrowheadPride.com, seriously, your one-stop shop for everything you're going to need over the course of the next 2 weeks and perhaps beyond if Patrick Mahomes is able to secure his second world championship in his first five seasons as the full-time starter. The team standing in his way, though, as we obviously know, the Super Bowl now set, Super Bowl 57. The Chiefs, the visiting team, the Philadelphia Eagles, the home team. Many people have said and thought that the Eagles were the best team in the NFL all season long, and they proved that yet again, although it was kind of a weird, wonky NFC title game, a little bit of a letdown from a hype standpoint. Here to take us all the way through it, one of my many co-hosts here at SB Nation. It is from SB Nation's Bleeding Green Nation, Brandon Lee Gowden, BLG, welcome. Congratulations. The Philadelphia Eagles are heading to the Super Bowl.
Once again, you know, it's an exciting time, RJ. You wouldn't know anything about it. I'm not sorry about that,
Jeremy. RJ comes in and is super nice, super self-deprecating, just so we're clear. And
I am sorry about that for you. RJ Ochoa once recently called the Eagles the modern standard of success in the NFL. So there you go.
It was... just to be clear, that was with regards to the NFC and NFC East. Like it was like a message to Cowboys fans. Like, I mean, you know, you host five straight AFC title games. I mean, you're kind of the standard, if we're being honest, as far as the league is concerned.
Your words.
Yeah, and he, don't forget he's also an honorary member of the Bills Mafia, which didn't even make it to the
Jeremy, what weekend. Questions do you have about the Eagles? Let's get this party started.
I guess let's start with Jalen Hurts, because I feel like we haven't really seen a lot of Jalen Hurts in these first two playoff games, and in a lot of ways we haven't seen a lot of the Eagles, like, I think, full throttle, because they haven't really been tested too hard. But I guess going into the Super Bowl, how are you feeling about Jalen Hurts? Is he fully healthy from that shoulder injury as well? Because I still feel like we haven't really seen him test that. And just in general, I guess your confidence level in him going into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, leading up to this NFC Championship game, Hurts was asked about how he was feeling. He said he has felt better. So that's not like great. he is 42 days as of yesterday removed from when that shoulder injury first happened. So you would think he's getting better with it. But clearly didn't look fully there against the 49ers. Now, obviously, their defense is good, but they were gettable deep down the field, allowing the most 50-plus plays passing in the NFL, and just their cornerback talent isn't like shut down. It's not like a shutdown cornerback unit. So a little bit surprising he wasn't able to have more success in that regard. I almost wonder if he was overcompensating a little bit. He's overthrown A.J. Brown on deep targets now in back-to-back weeks. He gets another 14 days to rest up that shoulder, so maybe that'll help him. I'm not really concerned about him because he did start out well against the Giants in the divisional round. He was like 7 of 7 to open that game for 89 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and a perfect passer rating. So it's not like we haven't seen him play at a high level at all in the postseason. I do think, though, he needs to be a lot better than he was in the championship game in the Super Bowl, because the margin for errors is not going to be as big.
I guess what I'm wondering here, and I'm not trying to make fun of the Eagles here, because you can't pick your schedule, but this has been a schedule full of rather weak teams. And even look at the playoffs with the Giants and then the 49ers down to their fourth string quarterback. Any concern that this is the first time in like 10 to 15 weeks that the Eagles may actually be playing a good team?
I mean, I get where that's coming from. I think it's a little unfair from the standpoint that, I mean, everyone thought the Giants were impressive after beating the Vikings and upsetting them. And then everyone, the 49ers had won 12 straight or whatever. Like, you know, these aren't and also Eagles earned the right to get a favorable path. They're the one seed. They earned a first round bye. They earned the right to play the lowest remaining seed in every round. And they're also the first team in NFL history to score 30 plus points while allowing fewer than 10 in back-to-back postseason games. And they're the one of the only teams here in NFL history, the fifth team to win the divisional round of the playoffs and the conference championship round by at least 21 points in each game. And each of those four teams before them, there's the 1989 49ers, the 1988 49ers, the 1985 Bears, and the 1979 Steelers, they're all Super Bowl winners. So what they're doing, you know, even if you're going to say they have these favorable opponents, is historic. They're not just like squeaking by these teams.
No, they're smashing them. And that's a fair rebuttal too. They're not only, again, drawing them, which you're right, they did earn, but they're smashing them up, which they should be doing in this scenario.
I think that's the story, Brandon. I mean, and like, it's like you're saying, it's fair, but it's not like they're squeaking by, right? It's not like, you know, Brock Purdy's injured and the Eagles win this game, like, you know, 20 to 13 or something like that. Like, it does, you know, you and I were slacking, like, not to pull the curtain back too much, but like, it didn't even feel like Sunday was like the Eagles' best effort. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they still like waxed the Niners. Like,
yeah.
I would say the last time I saw this team, you know, flying at all cylinders myself was on Christmas Eve against the Cowboys. Like, the team, not including Jalen Hurts. Like, ever since then, it feels like there's been like something kind of missing. And so, yeah, if you have 2 weeks, like, you have to imagine that kind of sets, like, this is the best possible situation. You're in the Super Bowl. You have 2 weeks to figure it out. I mean, my question, though, is, and we'll talk to Pete about this when you leave, you're facing like the god of the bye week and the god of like figuring it out over the course of the bye week. Like, is there any concern? Like, is this the team that you wanted to face the least, I guess, the Chiefs? Or like, how do you feel about the matchup as it pertains to the Eagles' advantages, disadvantages?
Yeah, I mean, I would push back a little bit. I mean, they looked good last week in the divisional round. I don't think you can really pick too many bones about the
just to say, like, they didn't need to play the whole game. That's all I mean. Like, it didn't require their full strength, full effort for four quarters because of how great they were, to your point.
And then just real quickly, too, on like getting lucky, quote unquote, about quarterbacks like getting out of the championship. I mean, the Eagles made their luck in that regard. Like, they hit the other quarterbacks a ton. They lead the league in sacks. Like, they're injuring the quarterback. Like, that's part of the game, part of what they're really good at. So, you know, again, there's some bounty. Level of like, this is dirty. Deserved. I mean, they're dirty. doing it legally. these aren't like cheap shots. They're, you know, it's legal sacks. But and Hassan Reddick has been awesome, by the way. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there was no, to me, ideal opponent from a standpoint of Chiefs and Bengals, both really good teams. Joe Burrow against Jonathan Gannon kind of scared me a lot, from the sense of, I just feel like he could be very methodical and kind of pick apart that defense if they're going to sit back and play off him and kind of just dare them to beat him by going on these long drives. But I mean, it's Mahomes, and he's going to make some crazy plays. I feel like maybe, like in the Eagles' best case scenario, maybe because he does that sometimes, there's a level of volatility there. But I mean, I'm not banking on that as something where like, oh, the Eagles can, you know, pick him off multiple times. You know, the injury is something to watch. I know, Pete, you had coverage of that on Arrowhead Pride about how Mahomes was saying, you know, he's not 100% by any means. He'll have the extra time to rest up, so we'll see how that does for him. But maybe that kind of limits what he can do a little bit in terms of creating mobility, or at least in certain spots, or maybe it allows the Eagles pass rush to get to him a little bit more than they otherwise would have. But, you know, it's also, to your point, RJ, about the master of the bye. I mean, Andy Reid is not just one of the best coaches in the NFL. Like, if we're talking about all time, you know, NFL head coach. And I think what he gives you as an advantage leading up to this matchup is, you know, the preparation that he puts in. Now, the game management, at least from our time in Philly together, is something that is, can be a little bit more questionable at times. And that's something that Nick Sirianni was really good at this year, and especially in the championship game, as opposed to Kyle Shanahan, who did not really maximize in that regard. So it's a really tough opponent.
I want to jump into the Eagles roster a little bit, because they look like one of the most complete teams on paper. You mentioned the defensive front. You got a defensive backfield that includes Darius Slayton and Bradbury. And then offensively speaking, they can beat you both ways. So is this the most complete Eagles team you have witnessed? And what is maybe the one thing that you're concerned about the team going into the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, if let's just say in like a some kind of weird hypothetical world, or I guess like Madden, let's for example, if you had to put the 2022 Eagles up against the 2017 Eagles who won the Super Bowl, I think you're taking the 2022 Eagles when you look at the talent on this team. I want to get into this with you, Pete, as we preview the Super Bowl, but just looking ahead to it, like, how many Chiefs starters are starting on the Eagles roster right now? I mean, you can pick some for sure, but I don't know the answer off the top of my head, but I think that's a fair question to raise. And I wonder what the answer to that question would be. And that's really a testament to what Howie Roseman has done. I famously never doubted him at all, not even one time. But I mean, he's built an incredible roster. And again, I just read that stat about how dominant these wins have been. I think it's in large part because of that, because, you know, Jalen Hurts hasn't even played his A game in these playoffs, and yet they're still able to win anyway, because there's just so many star-studded talents on this team.
I guess as you look at this game and moving forward, and I guess as you look back, just how important has the run game been for Philadelphia? And is that type of game from, you know, the Sanders and the Gainwells of the world sustainable as you go into the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason why I felt like the Eagles shouldn't just admit defeat on the run game going into the 49ers game, even though the 49ers were the best team in the league at stopping the run, at least in terms of opponent yards per rush attempt, was that I had seen the Eagles go up against the Saints' number one run defense in 2020 and 2021, and they just had their way with those run defenses. It was like, it didn't matter how good they were. They just did their thing, and they out-executed them. Their offensive line is so good. Jeff Stoutland, the Eagles' offensive line coach / run game coordinator, comes up with a lot of different types of runs. It's not like the Eagles have this one bread and butter that they do. They do so many different things in the run game. And sure enough, they went up against a really tough 49ers defense and ran all over them, essentially. I mean, four touchdowns. That's the first time the 49ers allowed that all year. Like, they had unprecedented success against this San Francisco defense on the ground this season. So, you know, I definitely think that's real. It all starts with the offensive line. And I don't know about Kenny Gainwell. Like, I don't know how sustainable that was, because he's kind of just become a whole new player somehow in the playoffs. This is almost like a Corey Clement
playoff Kenny.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I do believe in the run game as a whole as a legitimate weapon.
Brandon, the Eagles are the home team in Super Bowl 57. If you were in charge, what uniform would they wear? By the way, thankfully, as the home team, their graphic will face into the matchup. That's always a good thing that didn't work out, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it was.
Wait, what do you mean?
when they played the Patriots, the Eagles were technically the visiting team. So like their logo was facing left and the Patriot was facing right. So you had them like facing away from one another. It works out here that the Chiefs logo is facing inward and the Eagles logo is facing inward.
This is good analysis. yeah, you may recall that the Eagles actually got to wear their home jerseys in that Super Bowl because the right. Patriots went with the white, because at the time they were like, they were undefeated, or there's a lot of good records with the teams, the white jersey. I think they're going to go with the green because they're the home team and they won a Super Bowl in it before. And they really should consider going with the black, because I think Sirianni only has lost one game with black pants, but I mean, that's not going to happen
against the Cowboys.
Yeah. But none with Hurts.
Well, still Sirianni, that was your point. So you lose anyway. All right, Brandon Gotten, everybody check out Bleeding Green Nation for the next 2 weeks as he and his team cover the Philadelphia Eagles heading to the Super Bowl. Brandon, you picking the Chiefs to win?
It's not gonna dignify that, the response.
Looking forward to the next 2 weeks. BLG, be well, enjoy your hummus.
Thanks, guys.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, "Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back." If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Pete Sweeney. Kansas City Chiefs are heading to the Super Bowl as well. Third time in 4 years. So before the floor is yours, I want to turn to Jeremy. How annoying is this, Jeremy? The Chiefs are back. It did kind of feel like America and the world was rooting against the Chiefs a little bit on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, but I'm almost a little bit with Pete that like the Bengals got annoying by the end of the week. Like they were talking their mouth a little too much. And as much as I like Joe Burrow as a player, and you know, he can be fun as a person too, I thought they came in a little cocky for a team that, you know, hasn't even won a championship ever. Which, I mean, same boat. I'm not trying to throw stones here. But it was just, to me, and it's hard to hate Patrick Mahomes, I think, in my opinion. Like, he's a super likable guy and also an amazing person to watch. So, and maybe this just comes from my NFC background. I don't have a ton of animosity towards the Chiefs, but I reserve the right to change my mind once Pete starts talking.
Very, very, very well said, Jeremy. All right, yeah. Pete, the floor is yours. The Kansas City Chiefs are heading to the Super Bowl once again. It is their third Super Bowl appearance in the last 4 years, obviously all in the Patrick Mahomes era. I mean, they are rewriting. This is a cornerstone franchise of the NFL, and they are kind of rewriting their history. We talked about this when they won the AFC West, that they've won it seven times with Andy Reid as their head coach. And they had won it seven times total prior to that, obviously, era beginning in 2013. Your thoughts on the Chiefs, as you put it on Twitter, taking the AFC back on Sunday night?
Yeah, I just think this was impressive to me because it was a complete team game. And I think, and now to be fair to Bengals fans who are pretty upset today about how the game was officiated.
Oh, we'll get there.
I'm talking about more about the lead up into the game more than the in-game, because I'm about to say something that Bengals fans would roll their eyes about the in-game. But the odds were really stacked up against the Chiefs heading into the game. I mean, you had Patrick Mahomes with a high ankle sprain. Suddenly Travis Kelce pops up with a back injury there. If there's any two players on the Chiefs, not that you're rooting for injuries, but if there's any two players on the Chiefs that, okay, they're going to play, but they can be injured, you would pick those two players. Chris Jones had not been a guy that was finishing in the playoffs. Great regular season player, but had not been able to get home. This Bengals offensive line, to me, was beaten up, but they had largely had a good plan in games previous and were able to protect Joe Burrow. And, you know, you get into the game, and again, with the injuries, you lose L'Jarius Sneed, your best cornerback. You lose Willie Gay, one of your better linebackers. You all of a sudden have three rookie cornerbacks playing. Justin Watson, reserve receiver, was sick, so he doesn't play. And then in the game, Kadarius Toney, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Mecole Hardman all go down due to injury. So who has to step up? Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and he does. And the punt returner, the rookie punt returner, Sky Moore, the second rounder, who had fumbled the ball in previous games at the beginning of the year when he was a punt returner and had to be replaced, became the punt returner because Kadarius got injured and had one of the bigger plays of the game. The kicker, who has struggled, had a huge kick at the end of this game, was able to come through. I think in the years previous where Patrick Mahomes advanced to the Super Bowl and the two times before, it was a Mahomes offense dominant type thing where couldn't be that guy on Sunday, and they really needed a complete team effort. Chris Jones stepped up. Those guys I talked about had the redemption. They were able to take advantage of a beat up Bengals offensive line. So this one feels a little bit differently because I think before, again, it just was Mahomes dominated, and this felt like they needed every player to step up in a big way. And they played what had to be a perfect game because it was only by the 3-point margin.
So we didn't really talk to Brandon about the NFC Championship game specifically, because I think we would all agree it was kind of boring, right? Like the Brock Purdy injury, it was such a, like, you know, an air out of the balloon sort of situation. This was a riveting game, Jeremy, and it had some back and forth moments, but he mentioned it was kind of clouded by officiating, right? Like, and I don't know anybody that feels like the intentional grounding call wasn't fair. That I have no gripes with personally. The third down, I mean, is the thing that everyone's going to talk about. It really worked out, Jeremy, for the NFL that the Kansas City wound up punting on that particular possession. But it's just a shame. Like, whether or not you believe like that this worked for the Chiefs or whatever, it's a shame that in, you know, one of the biggest moments of the season, we have this particular thing as a factor.
Yeah, it's annoying, and I'm one of those people that doesn't really like talking about officials. Or I like talking about officials. I don't like blaming officials for performances. And it's
interesting because I've heard you blame Anthony Hitchens on officiating before in the past. But yeah, whatever.
I mean, only when I'm right is when I like blaming officials. But I think it really comes down to the fact that you have that third down redo, and then immediately after that, you get a defensive holding penalty that gives them an automatic first down, which, by the way, was the right call. But then, like, after that happens, eyes are all on officiating the rest of the way. And anything that happens from is suddenly a controversy, right? That, like you mentioned, the intentional grounding happens shortly thereafter. That one ends up not mattering either because they convert on a 3rd and 16, and then they have an opportunity to score on that drive, and they don't because their offensive line was really bad in this game. And then you have the game literally end on another call. But anyone who's been watching football for the past 5 years, in which a league has been extremely careful in protecting their quarterbacks, is not going to argue with that call. Like, that was, it was an unfortunate situation. No one wants to see the game end that way, but I think that was maybe the least controversial call we've seen all weekend. So I know Bengals fans are going to be frustrated. I've been in the same seat, and in fact, the Lions had a very similar thing where the third down redo thing happened. Like, Lions got a third down stop. Apparently the play was stopped by an official that no one saw. They had to redo it, and the Seahawks scored on the very next play. This happens. Pete, it you never want it to happen. You never want it to take the front seat, but it happens.
Pete, it is kind of strange. And this happens when you're really successful for a really long time, the way the Chiefs have been, where you kind of like become, like, I don't want to say the villain, but like there's attrition, right? Like, people kind of get tired of the same old story. We've seen it with like the Warriors in the NBA. Like, nobody wants them. Like, my cousin is rooting for the Eagles because he hates Patrick Mahomes because of how successful Mahomes is. I think that's really stupid, but whatever. So to that point, there was the, obviously after the Bills Bengals Monday night game, there was the coin toss and all that stuff. And everybody felt like the Chiefs kind of being all given all these benefits of the doubt. So this happens, and it's just like another thing. Do you feel like the Chiefs are sort of internalizing that? And so it's kind of like, hey, fine, like we'll be the bad guys, we'll be the villains, we're just going to keep winning. I mean, they're going to their third Super Bowl in 4 years. Like, we do lose sight of the fact that they are elite.
I find the phenomenon interesting. This is going to annoy you, but like, this is the best quarterback ever through 5 years. There's no denying that anymore.
Wow. And as soon as they start making Hall of Fame levels for the first 5 years, then,
And I think if Patrick Mahomes decided to retire today, he would be in the Hall of Fame. Anyway, I think we were dealing with the
Michael Jordan. Hard to root for the Chiefs.
The Michael Jordan of the NFL. And I think back in the day, people got behind a guy like that. People got behind a Michael Jordan. You had Bulls fans all over the country. Whereas I think today it's more of a fatigue thing. And I look, everyone is always like, well, Joe Burrow, we finally got that Brady Manning thing. You know how many times I've heard the Brady to Mahomes' Manning already? Three. Lamar Jackson was that guy. Nope. Kind of fell off.
Well, Burrow beat Allen. Him in a title game. Like, we can't pretend that didn't happen. Like, if there is an adversary, it is Burrow. Like, that yesterday's win doesn't undo that.
I would tell you that I feel like one of these AFC contenders needs to win a ring first before we consider them. Josh Allen was the next guy. Now people have extreme doubts about Josh Allen. That was supposed to be the new Brady Manning. Joe Burrow, he won one game last year and then lost in the Super Bowl. And now Patrick Mahomes was able to get that. And he was the only quarterback, and this was the only team out there that had the Chiefs number. And now that has been eradicated. And now, again, this is going to be the most annoying line that you're going to hear all day. Chiefs are one win away from a dynasty. They've been to five straight AFC title games, hosted five in a row. They got the one title. This is their third Super Bowl. If they win this title and have two after going to five AFC title games in a row, this is a dynasty. And yes, I think it is going to be this thing where they are looked at as the villains next year. I think they have one more game where they're not looked at like that. And I think it's just a change of how we deal with what has been, again, the best player through 5 years ever. This is the Michael Jordan through 5 years. We'll see how the rest of the 15 after that go. But this is the reality, and I think that's where you see a lot of that fatigue of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Jeremy, do you agree? Like, I mean, this is the third Super Bowl appearance in 4 years for the Chiefs. But if they, I mean, a win is a win, and that would be two Super Bowls in, 4 years at that point. Is that a dynasty? Like, are we talking? I mean, like, if you host five straight AFC title games and you only have two rings to show for it, like, that's less than half. I mean, I don't know. I'm curious.
It's tough because we're talking single elimination playoffs, right? A dynasty in the NFL looks different than a dynasty in the NBA. It looks different than a dynasty in every other sport. And the NFL prides itself on being about parity, right? You got 22 guys starting on your team versus five in the NBA, five in the NHL, whatever, nine in the MLB. So in order to have a dynasty in the NFL, I don't think it necessarily requires, back to back to back to back. I think if you're just getting to the game 3 out of 4 years, like, that's at least the very startings of what I would consider a dynasty. And I think that's probably why it's maybe viewed as more like villainous in the NFL, is because we're promised parity in the NFL, because it's not supposed to be easy to get there, especially not on a rookie quarterback contract anymore. That's the ultimate cheat code. And now the Chiefs don't have that anymore. And so to be able to do that and to also have, just coming out of the shadow of the Patriots, the ultimate NFL villain, coming out of their kind of hierarchy over the NFL for so long, I think having another team slip right in and kind of be that new team, it makes them kind of the villain. I think I don't know if it's this year or if it's next year, but I think we're definitely in the midst of what I would consider a dynasty for the Chiefs.
Pete, to be very clear, I'm rooting for the Chiefs. Okay, so I just want that on the record. But I want to ask you a question, Pete. If the Chiefs lose this Super Bowl, what, like, who is it on? Like, because it has to happen. There has to be somebody.
Yeah.
If you host five straight AFC title games and you have and you go to three Super Bowls and you have one banner to show for it, there's somebody that has to be held responsible for that.
I think the biggest person who's going to be looked at before and after the game, no matter how it goes, is Andy Reid. This is I don't know how I'm going to enjoy it, but I think maybe to an extent the rest of the football watching country may be annoyed with how often Andy Reid is mentioned and celebrated these next 2 weeks because of the fact that he's the only guy to ever really do something like this. Bill Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. I mean, you can't deny the success, but he hasn't done what Andy Reid has done, which is go to a team for 14 years, make them a contender, go to the four straight NFC title games, get to a Super Bowl, really turn that franchise around, then go to another one and do it again and even better than that first time around and have the 10 playoff wins for both teams and just a success. And then you get to a Super Bowl again, another one. Yeah, you only have the one Super Bowl, but it's against the old team. I mean, it's going to be so Andy Reid focused. I think to the rest of the teams, to the point of annoyance. And I think if he's able to get it, he'll be the number one reason they win. And I think if they lose the game, and I think Brandon had a very intriguing point where he mentioned that thing about the starters. I think on paper, the Eagles are probably more talented, but I think Andy Reid will be looked at. Well, this is the guy that was supposed to be really good after the bye. This is the guy now who has been in all of these Super Bowls and he only has one to show for it, while he has the guy I just talked about, who I consider still the best player in the game and who's going to be a two-time MVP in a couple of weeks here. So yeah, I think it's very Andy Reid focused, and I think he knows that and is going to welcome it.
Well, I don't think that's true, because I wrote an article for SBNation.com all about the Kelce brothers. So they're kind of the stars of the Super Bowl, not Andy Reid.
Sure.
Pete, I don't know off the top of my head, maybe you have forgotten, but the Eagles are currently 2-point favorites in the Super Bowl, according to our friends at DraftKings. Have the Chiefs been underdogs in either of their previous Super Bowl appearances?
I believe they were favored to win. That's a good question. I can't really even remember. I don't believe.
I think an article for you at arrowheadpride.com.
Thank you. We got to give you a byline on that one. Yeah, I got to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure that they were favored the previous two times. Although I imagine the Bucks probably were favored at home, right? With Tom Brady, I got to think that they were favored. So
they should have been.
I have to get back to you on that one. Okay. I should stop talking.
Jeremy, what are you looking forward to the most now that we know the Super Bowl, Matt? It's been so much, like, we've examined all the possible permutations, whatever. It's Eagles, it's Chiefs. Rihanna's going to be there. I mean, like, what is the thing that you are most excited about over the course of the next 2 weeks?
It sounds kind of corny, but I feel like we got the best two teams here. We got a one seed versus a one seed. And so, this is what the entire season was really built around. And it's nice to have that. It doesn't always work out that way. You don't get one versus one seeds all the time. But when you do, you got to cherish it. And honestly, I feel like the playoffs have been a little bit of a disappointment so far. Certainly the NFC Championship game was, and some of those divisional games were not very good. So I think these are two of the best coaches that are in this league. Nick Sirianni is entertaining, and he plays a little bit of that villain role, but he's also exciting. He's a good time manager. He's a good game manager. He goes for it on fourth down a bunch. And you have Andy Reid, who creates amazing offensive schemes. So I think, obviously it's the players that play the game, but to me, having like two of the brightest offensive minded coaches in the league go toe to toe to me is something that should really be maybe one of the bigger storylines heading into the Super Bowl.
I think it's the best passing offense versus the best passing defense. Like, that is what you want. I mean, when in a championship game, I mean, even the taking the team names out of it, I think that, Jalen Hurts is really the class of the NFC right now. It seems like he's the consensus best quarterback in the NFC, and you're getting the best quarterback in the AFC. I mean, that's what the game's about, right? Quarterback play. And I think Jeremy's right. Like, bias aside that Brandon and I might have, just because we cover these teams, like, it'd be really cool to get a competitive Super Bowl. Much more like what was the AFC title game, where at least it was interesting compared to whatever that was in the NFC, where, it just was no question. So I think that's what we're all hoping for. And I think it should be a really fun 2 week lead up, because there's just so many storylines, like, again, that connect these teams. And backing up Jeremy's point, these are the two best teams, I think.
Okay. It's Monday. It's not even 11 a.m. Central time. So you reserve the right to change. Pete, we don't even need to waste your time with picking, because we know. Jeremy, and I'm rooting for the Chiefs. Like, it's very obvious I'm incredibly biased against the Eagles. So Jeremy, you are like our true like Switzerland here, like our true, like, impartial body that we can trust. Who is going to win? And again, you reserve the right to adjust your opinion. Obviously, there are some injury situations we're going to be monitoring with regards to Mahomes and Kelce and Hurts and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But how do you see this shaking out? Predict the future.
First of all, I'm not sure I'm entirely impartial here. Me and Brandon also have a friendly / frenemy relationship. So there is part of me that doesn't want to see Brandon happy. I'm going to be completely honest here.
Wow.
But if I'm just picking with my head and not my heart here, I do think the Eagles have the better roster. I think toe-to-toe, and, you know, Brandon has escaped the question where I asked, you know, what's the weakness on the Eagles roster? And I literally don't know the answer to that either. I don't know if he just didn't hear me ask the question or purposely didn't answer it, but I just don't see the weakness here. And so the only way I think the Chiefs win this game, and it's a very possible thing, is just if Patrick Mahomes supermans it out there. And he's obviously very capable of doing something like that in this game. And I think the 2 weeks, honestly, I thought he looked pretty healthy in the first half. Like, he didn't seem like he was that effective in the first half of the AFC Championship game. And then as the game wore on, like, you were like, oh, okay, this guy's not there.
He had one play where he, I believe it was a third down and roll out to the left in the sideline, where he was a little skippy after it. Yeah. But, you know, I know this is always the case. I'll tell you, RJ, if this game was next week, without a bye week, it'd be hard not to pick the Eagles. The Chiefs badly need this 14-day break because of all the injuries that piled up in the...
Well, and you've got the Andy Reid bye, you know, stuff, yeah, too. I mean, that's a factor. Besides, Mahomes, like, the natural, like, health that comes with the rest.
Mahomes and Kelsey, you know, they need another week off their injuries. And then all the ones I just mentioned, you know, you hope to get those players back to 100% just because there was so many re-aggravations and new injuries. So, yeah, I mean, obviously I'm picking the Chiefs, but I think Chiefs fans, if anything right now, should be grateful for the fact that this game is not being played next Sunday, because they would be in a lot of trouble, similar to the idea of when they entered the Bucs game with a hobbled offensive line and backups of backups. I think it would be much more similar to that. So 2 weeks from now, maybe they'll be much healthier.
I know I've looked a little bit busy for the two of you, I'm sure. There's some things happening with the Dallas Cowboys. Look, I wear a lot of hats around here, so I'm taking care of it. Pete, I know you should enjoy this the Super Bowl trip for the Chiefs, because Kellen Moore is apparently the new offensive coordinator for the Chargers. So
I believe,
you know, next year is the year that the Chargers are taking down the Chiefs very clearly.
Yeah, no, I can't wait for those Chargers AFC West predictions that happen every year no matter what. I as you mentioned, I am gearing up for this this 19-hour drive from Missouri to Arizona. So if you have any snack recommendations, I'm happy to take them.
Jeremy, you and I have never spoken about Kellen Moore, despite the fact that he began his NFL career with the Detroit Lions. Are you happy for him? Do you want him to take down the Chiefs?
I think maybe I'm not a big Chargers fan, and I don't know if there are any big Chargers fans truly out there. But I am happy for them to be rid of their former offensive coordinator, who also has Lions ties, in Joe Lombardi. Because I think we'd like to have Justin Herbert enter the conversation of maybe that elite group of AFC quarterbacks, because we've seen the talent there. So I don't know if Kellen Moore is going to be the key to unlock that. You probably have much more of an opinion on that than me. But I mean, his stock was so high entering this season, and the offense was starting to look good in Dallas for a while there, until I don't know. Is it fair that everyone just seems to have trashed Kellen Moore's name just because of that lateral play, or whatever that last play in the divisional round was?
I like Moore going to LA. I mean, I know that they're in the division, but Justin Herbert has not been unlocked yet, in my opinion. Right. I mean, his ceiling is so high, so yeah. Just getting someone else in there is exciting to me.
I will say, it's not the easiest thing in the world to write an article while doing a podcast. So, but I did it. So congratulations to me.
You got a great shirt on today, by the way.
Yeah, it's from our friends at Homage. So Donatello is my favorite Ninja Turtle. Is he yours, I imagine, Pete?
Michelangelo.
Jeremy?
I'm a party dude, too. Can't go wrong.
That's stupid.
me and the turtles have a deep love for pizza in common as well, which I relate to all the turtles in that.
All right, Super Bowl 57. By the way, Pete, last question from me, and then I don't know if Jeremy has anything for you. I believe, I was talking to I think Steven about this, have the Chiefs ever played a playoff game in the Mahomes era wearing their white jerseys? Because obviously they've all been at home, and the two Super Bowls, you know, they wore red against the Niners wearing white, and then the Bucks chose to wear white, and so they obviously wore their red. I don't think they've ever played a playoff game in their white jerseys. Am I wrong?
It's been a long time since they have.
It would be never if I'm correct. Not a long time.
I tend to think that, right. I think Brandon's right. I think the Eagles will choose to wear green, so this will be a a white jersey Super Bowl for the Chiefs.
Literally their first time ever wearing that jersey in the playoffs with Patrick Mahomes. He's going to put it on and be like, what the hell's going on? I'm not used to this.
With Mahomes, definitely. Yes.
That was the question. Thank you for listening. Maybe you're the one writing an article.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I just wasn't paying attention to you. I think that they should also wear white on white. I think it's their best look. Now, this is a very tradition-friendly organization with the Hunt family. Lamar Hunt was never a big alternate jersey guy. That's part of the reason why you don't see any kind of alternate jersey for the Chiefs. They only just change their pants and stuff of what they have. But the white-on-white look with red socks is a great, great look. I would love them to wear that.
Jeremy, what do you want to see? What uniforms for each team? I saw Jeremy and I are going to talk later about Twitch, so I'm very excited about this. But I saw you ran a Lions-Eagles Madden simulation where you put on the ugliest possible uniforms for both teams.
Yes.
Ooh, I like that.
So opposite end of the spectrum here. What is the prettiest match? It's a very like Christmassy bowl here, Eagles and Chiefs. Yeah. But what do you want to see? If you could dress either one up, Jeremy, what do you want?
I kind of like the yellow trim on those Chiefs jerseys from back in the day. Like I feel like they don't have that. Is that part of their uniform at all anymore?
They have a like yellow stripes. Yeah, they got like a yellow trim. You know, that's what the outline is, but. Yeah. Not as much gold.
I want Eagles green tops, white pants against Pete. I disagree with you. I don't want the all whites. I want the red pants on the Chiefs. Like I want, because that's a good contrast. You got like green tops against white tops, red pants against white pants. Like I need that.
Yeah. I don't know. I just tend to think it'll be the classic white.
That would be stupid. That's my point. Pants. Like that. Don't do that. Again, Jeremy, maybe get an article up on that, Pete. It's the first time they're ever going to wear the white jerseys in a playoff game in the Patrick Mahomes era.
I was thinking about this. I know that you guys over with the Detroit, you guys like to do the mustache for charity. I'm thinking that if the Lions make the playoffs next year, you go 365 mustache, a full calendar year of the mustache.
If we hit a certain goal, sure. And maybe I'll just grow it out. Is it a baseball owner who has like the mustache that goes like over the lips?
Yeah.
Like, I won't even trim it.
No, let that thing purr. Yeah, that's what we need. If the Lions
look like a Lorax, that's my goal here.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here. So Jeremy, you're
RJ, I sense you've had enough. Is that you just had enough?
Well, I wrote my article. I have a lot of things to do. I'm a very busy person. I mean, I'm meeting with Jeremy later. You know what I mean? Like I got a lot. At some point, I'm gonna have to eat.
What do you have for lunch today?
I think I'm gonna make an egg sandwich. Really looking forward to it. So
I know Rachel isn't here today, so I'm just gonna give myself the third straight MF double MVP.
I'm gonna give it to Jeremy.
Nope. Jeremy, you
by the way, my the
you
last
vote
thing...
for yourself, Jeremy, or me? What's the title?
Oh, I vote for myself. And plus, RJ is like the producer today, so I think he gets. I think he gets the extra
right.
Effort.
I agree with
well,
that.
Well, you won the vote 2-1. I voted for myself. You voted for yourself, and RJ voted for you. So you I guess technically speaking, are the.
This is the actual last thing I'm gonna say, and then we're gonna leave. Jeremy, I want to congratulate you beyond winning MF double MVP. My cousin and I, not the one who's rooting for the Eagles, but his brother, he and I have a Madden Connected franchise that we share every year. And so it's always fun. We have certain rules. Nobody can be the Cowboys, whatever. So we always have fun kind of picking teams. I decided last night the Lions are my team in 2020. Oh, no. Next year's Madden, I'm going to be the Lions. So I'm going to get rid of Jared. No offense, but
I get it.
So that's just kind of where we're at. But
if you want Kellen Moore, you're going to have to be the Chargers.
Okay.
Plus, I understand being sick of mid-tier quarterbacks as a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
So.
So, again, I was super complimentary and self-deprecating this whole episode, and everybody was mean to me, just to be very clear what's happening around here. And you guys are wondering, why do you want to leave, RJ? So, let's get out of here. Pete, the final word belongs to you. Make a noise, sing a song, whatever you want. Make it great.
No, I just want to say happy Monday to all the NFL fans out there, right? Two teams left. Let's party.